Welcome to the Good But Not Great podcast. This is episode 11. It is the blend of humor and information and maybe occasionally paprika. I'm Kenny.
And I'm James, and we are your not-so-great host on this not-so-great podcast. You mentioned that this is episode 11.
Yes.
It's not episode 10.
It is not episode 10.
It's not episode 9. And last week, you called episode 10, episode 9.
I did.
How many times did you do that?
Just once, I think.
No, that's not true.
Okay. I only heard it once.
You said it once on air, but it took you three times of trying to get it right that you got it wrong.
Really? I said it three times?
That's what you said. You know, you only played it one time on air.
Oh, yeah. I listened to it over and over.
You listened to it multiple times and never caught it.
Yeah, I never caught it. So here's our corrections that we know of. I said episode 9 instead of episode 10. Which made me think I should just not say episode numbers anymore, which is a very governmental, American governmental way of doing things. Here's a problem. The answer is get rid of the freedom to do it. All right. So it was episode 10 last time. I apologize for that. If you got confused, I know I did once I posted it and listened to it and went, oh, crud, I just posted episode 9 again. All right. The second thing is I want to, and this is both, James, an apology and a correction.
You looked at the East German Olympic women, and you want to apologize to me.
I promise you, I have not researched East German Olympic women. It's not a Google option for me. We were talking about preparation, and you were like, hey, I'm not prepared. I'm like, yeah, you're not prepared. And then as I'm kind of going through the show, I thought, well, he's got stuff. He talked about stuff.
This sounds like a backhanded compliment.
No, I'm just being totally serious. Like, I thought, well, why did we even say that? Like, you had stuff. Like, you might not have had the stuff you thought you were going to have, but you had stuff. So, and I just hit my mic.
I'm always full of stuff.
So, that's exactly right. In before and after,
I always have loads of stuff.
So anyway, apologize, James.
Hey, thanks.
You actually had some good stuff that you brought to the table.
Apology accepted.
All right. Hey, and then the last thing is we referenced the anathema.
Anathema.
And we found out, my brother Jason actually called me and said it's an anathema. And he said, I didn't know it right away. And I thought, I never heard of that word anathema. And then he remembered, oh, anathema. So we mispronounced that. So if you were like, I have no idea what he's talking about, maybe it's just because I pronounced it wrong. So,
how do we know that Jason's pronouncing it right?
Jason reads a lot more than we do.
That doesn't mean that he pronounces it right.
I'm just saying. He wouldn't call me otherwise. Anathema.
Who gets to decide who's putting the emphasis on the right syllable?
Noah Webster.
is that how he found? Is that?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. I just took his correction and went on. And I didn't ask any questions. He started quoting people, and I got confused.
I was done then. I'm out.
Just doing the Brian Regan thing while I'm trying to hang up the phone. Like I'm not smart enough to talk to you.
Hello. Bye. I gotta go.
Anyway, so those are our corrections.
Thanks, Jason,
for the week. Thank you, Jason, I just want to say also thanks to everybody who's been giving some feedback. We had some really good feedback.
Appreciate it. It really is big.
We really do. We really do like hearing the feedback.
Yeah, and listen, if you along that line of feedback, if you could just go post some stars on the iTunes, it would be appreciated.
It sounds so weird. Post some stars on the iTunes.
So I started doing that. I said that by mistake a couple of weeks ago. I started to say the Facebook page, and I left off page right in the middle of talking. I said the Facebook, and then I got distracted and never got back to it. And then I noticed the whole front row of our youth just dying laughing. Yeah. And so now I'm trying to add that to everything.
Yeah, we should. Like, just obviously sound like old people.
Yeah.
I'm just because, like, we say the Facebook.
Hey, Jamie, I looked that up on the Google the other day.
The Google.
Yeah.
And even like the New York Times.
Yeah. I'm going to see Kenny in the Sepulpa.
The University of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's some things.
Some things. There are a few things maybe that's accurate for.
All right.
As we're getting ready for this, I was looking, and there was Billy Graham's funeral today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at all the people in there and the wide variety. And they were talking about that he preached to 75 million people in person.
Wow.
That's not just over there. That's the people that actually showed up to his crusades over the years. 75 million people.
Oh, live. 75 million live people. Yeah.
That's not counting the hundreds of millions that went out over the air.
The TV and over the radio.
And so that was on Fox News. Like they're just recounting, you know, his influence. I'm thinking, man, you know, influence is really a powerful thing. And his influence, he may have been the most influential person of our generation.
He would definitely be up there. I was wondering, like, even in when you think about influence, because a lot of times people, their influence will hit a chord in such a way that it has a negative turn.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think of, you know, did Billy Graham ever have a negative turn in his stuff? Or he, I think as a whole, he was largely admired through the whole of
Absolutely.
His. And of course, I'm not, you know, old enough to have been alive through the whole thing, but I don't remember a negative downturn on Billy Graham.
There wasn't any scandals.
No.
There wasn't any scandals. The guy was above reproach and all of that. And it doesn't mean that he was perfect. It just meant that.
Correct.
He really wasn't. And influence is a big deal for me. I always talk about you are always influencing somebody either for the good or mm-hmm. for the bad. You just, it's going to happen. So if you're not intentional, being intentional about influencing somebody for the good, then you're probably going to influence them for the bad. And that made me think about our relationship mm-hmm. and our friendship. And I'm glad that you apologized today because, you know, as I thought over our relationship over the years, I think that you've probably been a pretty bad influence on me.
I'm sorry. I was thinking, reading something. What did you say?
Everybody else heard it.
I'm messing with you. Yeah. Okay. If you were to say two ways I've been a bad influence on you.
Entertainment.
Because I'm constantly giving you really cool stuff to watch and you're like, I don't need to watch anything else.
Or and procrastination.
Procrastination.
Yeah.
Do all those things tie together?
Let me give you an example. Okay. So you know that I really love a good story.
Yes.
If it's a good story, man, I just kind of shut down. I really want to watch mm-hmm. it. I really want to see it. And I also lack self-control.
Yeah. Okay. Area. Those two. It's just not, probably some great stories in there for that.
It's not a good mix.
Yeah.
But yet here a couple of weeks ago, you were telling me about this incredible podcast. That's like 75, I think it was 750,000 people. It was a bump of 750,000 people in 1 week's time. That's how popular this podcast was. And your exact statement was to me, hey, I started listening to this podcast. Man, don't listen to that.
Don't listen to it, man.
And you knew.
It'll take over your life.
You right here on air.
Yeah.
You knew what was going to happen, didn't you?
Yeah, and it wasn't good, but not great.
You knew what was going to happen.
I knew. I'm just letting you know, when you get back, when you fall back off the wagon, this is the podcast you need to pick up.
And I fell off the wagon within 35 seconds.
35. You were on it.
I was like, I called you back within the hour and I was like, what's wrong with you? You knew I couldn't say no to that.
Yeah, and it's now one of my great joys.
And now I'm hooked.
Finding those things and going, hey, by the way, there's this podcast you should not listen to.
Or this television show or this movie. Or hey, I mean, it is a constant. And neither one of us have really been a good influence on each other.
Come on.
In the area of procrastination.
Okay, maybe so then.
It's only been this year that we've actually kind of pushed each other to not procrastinate.
Oh, man. We're 11 weeks in a row on this podcast.
And really, like, we haven't put it off.
Yeah. Other than my marriage, this is the first thing I've done 11 weeks in a row.
Your kids?
No. Yeah, probably that too.
Your job? Your personal relationship with God.
Okay. Well, maybe there's five other things that I've done 11 weeks in a row, but it drops off significantly after that.
I noticed the other day something, and I wanted to call this out, but I wanted to wait till we're on air.
All right.
To call here we it go. Out. What is with you writing motivational quotes in your planner? You are great. You are smart. You are creative. What is with that?
I don't say that you're smart and creative.
No, said you are. You're talking about yourself. Oh,
myself, yeah.
Why are you writing yourself all of these?
I'm just trying this new planner.
You're a good guy.
I didn't say I was a good guy.
You're so smart.
I think I got it right here. You want me to read what I got in there?
I would like to read this week's. I just noticed that. I'm like.
No, I haven't changed it much.
That seems
I still haven't convinced myself.
What's the word I'm looking for? What is it?
Lame?
Lame. No, it starts with an N. Narcoleptic?
Nawsome?
It's not narcoleptic.
Nawsome? It's nawsome. No, it's not. It's a daily thing, I think. Let me find it. Okay, so yeah, I've got here's the two I based it three. So I've been heavy on waking up and saying I am disciplined. That's one. I say that five times and then I chant and light some incense.
Okay.
And then I say sometimes I say I'm focused. Like I really say that.
Do you ever find the hypocrisy in that?
I've got to be overwhelming right here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I've got it written down. I wrote down. I am focused.
You were focused while you were writing it.
See,
did you get distracted while you were writing it?
It says affirmation. I am focused. And then below, there's a box where you're supposed to write down what you're focused on. I don't have anything in that
box.
You
never got to the box. I lost focus and never got to the box of what I was supposed to be focused about.
And then I got one. Let's see. I don't. What was going on this day? I don't know why I wrote, I am talented.
That was the one I saw.
I wrote, I am talented.
I want to suggest to you, maybe you should have your wife write your affirmations and not yourself.
You want your wife writing your affirmations?
It would be more realistic.
Oh, it would be depressing if my wife wrote
my wife would write far better affirmations about myself than I would.
Oh, my good. No,
I do not affirm myself well. My wife is very affirming of
me. I love my wife, but I don't want her writing, he gets by.
He ain't bad. He ain't bad.
He gets by.
He ain't great, but he ain't bad.
Or if she wrote it right, it'd be, I can get by. I'll survive today. I can stay married.
So you would say that you are the person who is influencing you the most, right?
I'm influencing me the most?
Yeah, you're writing all that affirmation about yourself, this is just man. An way experiment. To affirm yourself.
This is an experiment with this planet.
Pat that yourself they have on you the back,
they,
weirdo.
They have you do this every day, and I'm trying it, and I don't know.
Let me ask you, do you agree with the statement that we actually do one way or the other? I mean, you're going to influence somebody, and it's either for the good or for the bad.
I agree. You're constantly influencing people.
Okay, totally I am.
Agree with that.
Yeah,
I think in general, people really, are constantly influencing.
I was reading this article, and I read a little bit to you by Brett McKay put it out from The Art of Manliness. And it's
great
the power,
podcast.
The Power of Personal Influence, and he took this as a reading from Self-Control, It's Kingship and Majesty by William George Jordan in 1905. And he talks about how just like gravity and light and air and other, it's, we don't see it, but it's influencing or impacting our lives. And he said, one way or the other, you're influencing somebody. And we hardly ever think about the fact that we really are influencing them. So some people, men and women whose presence seems to radiate sunshine, cheer, and optimism. You feel calmed and rested and restored in a moment to a new and stronger faith in humanity. And he says, there are men who float down the stream like icebergs, cold, reserved, unapproachable, and self-contained. In their presence, you involuntarily draw wraps closer around you, and you wonder who left the door open. There are men who are like, I like this, malarious swamps. Is that right, malarious?
Malarious.
Malarious.
Like malaria.
I said it like that. See malarious. If Jason would correct
malarious us. Sounds good, doesn't it?
I was going to leave it there.
But it is a malarious thing.
I was hoping Jason would. Do you mean malarious? I think he meant malarious.
Malarious.
There are men who are like malarious swamps, poisonous, depressing, and weakening by their very presence. Mm. Just being around them makes you weaker because they're poisonous and malarious.
And you have to then take prescription drugs to get over them.
There are men who are insistence in heart, and that insincerity is radiated by their presence. They have a wondrous interest in your welfare when they need you.
Mm.
And I mean, four or five people popped in my mind when I read that.
You can't name them on there.
No, I'm saying that there are. I mean, immediately you go to those people, you're like, I know that guy.
Yeah,
he only is interested in me when he needs something from me, and then he's never around.
Yes.
I mean, Kenny, I don't want
the other Kenny, this other guy named Kenny.
It's another guy named Kenny Myers. And so, no, I mean, but you know what I mean? You think of those people.
Yes.
Think of people who are cold when you're around them. You're like, man, I don't even like being around this guy. And then you think really of this one only when they need you.
You know who comes to mind, that person that not the opposite of that. Like after I'm around them, I feel better about life. And about people and about myself. You know who that guy is? Casey Carragher.
Me.
Our friend Casey Carragher.
Who was it? James Caulfield.
I'm feeling less about better about myself even just bringing this up to you.
One of the articles was like, think about that person.
Yeah.
Casey Carragher came to my mind.
Did he really? Yeah. I just think he's great. He just makes me feel good about myself.
Anytime I'm around him, I feel better.
Yeah.
And what the article was talking about is, people should feel better. Like how you make them feel how you feel when you walk away from a person, that's it. How you, And I thought, man, that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy that I'm like, you know, I'm not a horrible human being when I'm around Casey. When I'm around you, there's days.
Sometimes, honestly, and we're going to have to cut some of this out because it's going to drive him crazy. Sometimes I'll walk up to people and, you know, we all have to
sit back and watch him.
No, not a lot. I just know. I just know. Like, hey, I want to have that kind of impact when I'm around people. That people walk away and feel like they're better off because they spent time around me. And I don't mean like I'm that great. I mean like I really gave to them in such a way that it was a benefit to be around me versus what you're talking about, the malarious right. thing where they're draining
okay, life. Okay, so out of you. At the end of that, and the one he's talked about, the people who only are nice to you when they need something from you, yeah. he says at the end of it, there's a subtle power of revelation which makes us say, well, I can't explain how it is, but I know that man's not honest.
Yeah.
And he follows it up by saying men and women have duties to others and duties to themselves. And to make our influence felt, we must live our faith. We must practice what we believe. A magnet does not attract iron as iron. It must first convert the iron into another magnet before it can attract it.
It's got to be magnetized.
You got to convert the other magnet before you can influence it, before you can attract it. Good stuff, isn't it?
I don't understand the science of that, but it sounds really cool.
It is useless for a parent to try to teach gentleness to their children when they themselves are cross and irritable.
Now, that's true.
Explains a lot about my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
The child.
I mean, yeah, your kids. I mean, my kids. Yeah, they're the reason they're that way.
The child who is told to be truthful and who hears his parent lie cleverly to escape some little social unpleasantness is not going to cling very zealously to the truth. The parent's words say, excuse me, don't lie. The influence of the parent says, do lie.
Yeah.
Proven
seven step. Scientifically proven steps to increase your influence. And so anyway, this is out of Entrepreneur Magazine. First of all, it says to increase your influence, if you're trying to be more influential, connect with people emotionally. You've got to, it says, Van Edwards says, she has discovered that if you want to intrigue and influence people, you have to get their dopamine pumping. Dopamine stimulates the pleasure reward area in the brain, makes people feel all warm and fuzzy. So if you want to get that pumping, you got to connect with them
emotionally.
Emotionally. So says some great questions to begin with. What was the best part of your day and the worst part of your day? So get them talking and thinking kind of introspectively and emotionally about stuff. Anyway, it's
the best part of my day was spending time with you right now doing this podcast.
That is so
the worst part of my day was spending time right now with you doing this podcast.
So I'm going to skip number two. Number three is use high-powered body language.
Why did you skip number two? Was it bad?
It says be emotionally curious.
Did it say rub backs awkwardly or something like that?
That's kind of like it. But anyway, use high-powered body language.
Now that means you carry yourself like someone who's important, right?
Is that what that's talking about?
You don't have your head down. You're not slumped shoulders, that kind of stuff. Is that what you're
shoulders
talking about?
Back, eyes up. Strong, position. You don't look down.
Do I look like it? Do I look high powered now?
Yeah, that or a rooster. I don't know which one you're doing.
I can't
tell.
It's
weird.
It's awkward.
And so you just want this kind of what they call expansive, confident body language.
Yeah.
It helps with, people giving a sense of that they're a person that could influence, I guess. I don't know.
I think we should take a picture of you in both positions.
I don't
send it to the.
I honestly do not have
to the Facebook page.
High powered body language.
I know.
I don't think I have that.
You should demonstrate for us what a high powered body language is.
I would look like a caricature. It'd be like a joke. Like, who's he dressing up for his Halloween? Who's that? Number four, tell a story. They said stories are really helpful as far as opening up kind of that stuff. They recommended a story toolbox, which sounds awesome and stupid all at the same time.
So is that like you have a bunch of stories with you
on hand, ready to go, man? You're ready to go with some great stories, man. Great stories. Be vulnerable. That's one.
How do you do that?
Says being open about your emotions increases your likability and influence. People will perceive you as being real when you admit to weakness or flaws. So opening up and being just authentic, I think, is the deal. And so you want to kind of present a confident body language.
Yeah.
But as you communicate, you don't want to present kind of an untouchable.
So I would say, wouldn't that be better to be transparent than be vulnerable?
Yeah, but I guess that's kind of you are being vulnerable when you're transparent. I guess you're kind of opening up to people. But
okay.
Number six, ask a favor. That's a big influencing.
Can I borrow $100?
Whenever a person asks someone else for a favor, he or she is perceived more positively in that sense. So, and then become charismatic. According to research performed by the MIT Media Lab, most people don't remember what an individual looks like or what he or she might have said. They remember how the individual made them feel. So
How do you do that?
I don't know, man.
I mean, you're giving these people advice. You're not giving anybody any suggestion about how to do it.
I'm just telling you what
the reading the stupid realtor article.
This is what realtors
and you're not helping anybody.
This is what realtors say.
You're not influencing anybody with it. You're just reading another dumb article. You know, last week, was it last week or the week before, whenever you were the Harvard Business Review that you kept,
last
that I've always read, and you said I was too stupid to read.
Episode 9.
You said I was too stupid to read.
What?
You did.
No, I didn't say you're too stupid.
No, you said only smart people can read it.
No, that,
and I said, would you send that article? And you said, no, that goes back to the only intelligent people can read this.
No, the smart people club.
Yeah, and you said I wasn't in it.
Now I'm not saying you can't get in it, but I'm just fully aware that you don't have the card.
So I decided I would pull up an article from MIT.
Ah, you're trumping me.
Yeah. Many intelligent... No, it's Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Massachusetts
Institute of Technology. It's a Massachusetts.
What's MIT say?
They didn't say much. Honestly, you would expect a longer article. And then I was like, it's only three paragraphs. Yeah. Well, that's disappointing that I got to the bottom of it and it says buy full article.
Don't
buy
the full article. You can't understand the full article.
The gist of it is that I got from the three paragraphs is a lot of people try to make influence like a quick fix, one answer thing. Like if I do this, I'm going to influence somebody. And they equated to like, hey, if I do this one thing, I can lose 30 pounds. If I do this, and they said, just like losing weight, just like anything important in your life, there's always multi-pronged steps to it. It's never. So the people who are most influential, like getting a business to change or getting workers to change, or they even talked about people who are hard to get along with, getting them to change and move in a direction, are the people who approach it from multiple different layers and not just one approach. The people who just try to do the one approach are hardly ever influential.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
That is interesting.
So multiple approaches.
So okay, what would be multiple approaches though?
I didn't buy the rest of the article.
Okay.
If they're interested in that, we'll put a link up and they can buy the rest of the article.
So somehow there needs to be more than one approach.
Yes, it's a multi-layered.
So multiple
system,
multiple.
I would assume that if we bought the rest of the article, okay. If I wanted to invest anything actually into that, we would have. It's $75 a year, folks, and I just didn't want to spend $75 for a year to MIT.
So wait,
to read something that evidently I'm not intelligent enough to read most of the time.
So you're not a member.
I'm not a member of the Smart People Club. People are using this for gain. So they are becoming what they call social media influencers.
Okay.
And businesses are actually looking to these people like, hey, how do we get connect with them? Because they already have a crowd. So someone's got a successful blog or a successful podcast like Good But Not Great. And I'm really kind of surprised that a lot of people haven't reached out to us yet.
You really are?
With our 75 subscribers.
I know. I just think you have no idea.
I don't understand.
Kind of power those 75 people have.
We could be social media influencers. And this is kind of what their whole emphasis comes on, that 90% of people consumers trust peer recommendations, while only 33% trust ads.
Good.
So like, hey, if they're already listening to that person, they already trust those person. And if that person makes that recommendation, it's kind of like, so if Glenn Beck says, hey, I sleep on this mattress, or hey, go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse or whatever it is, then people are like, oh, if Glenn goes there, it must be. And there's a reality to that, isn't there? Say, trust LifeLock. Oh, if they're using LifeLock, I must trust LifeLock.
Yeah. Or the other side of it, like, I ain't using that.
I'm throwing out organizations that I would like to have gift certificates to if anyone from Ruth Crisp is listening.
Blue Apron. You advertise everywhere. You have no...
Those guys are...
You have no standard.
They have absolutely cornered the market on social media influencers.
Everywhere.
They are
Blue
using
Apron
everybody.
Is everywhere.
If you've got a blog with 15 people... Blue Apron's going to be advertising.
I haven't seen an apron in 30 years, but there are Blue Aprons everywhere right now.
Can you think of a time that you've actually influenced somebody for the good?
Yeah. I got to give a specific example.
You could share.
I remember one time that I was telling my kids about how just the government works, my own kids.
Oh, geez. And are you kidding me?
And how the world works.
Hey, listen, Mel Gibson, conspiracies are, Kenny is the conspiracy theory
No.
No, he's a professional conspiracy theorist.
No, I'm not. I would be
just because you call him true.
I'm open. I'm open to it.
You don't have tinfoil on your windows, but you're close.
It's there. There's possibilities. So I listen to some of that. So we've been talking about, we had talked about just life and the government and taxes and things like that. And so anyway, so we go to a school play. It was like a fourth, and it would have been a 4th of July. So like Memorial Day or whatever it was kind of thing was going on. And anyway, so whatever was going on stage, this patriotic celebration thing on stage, they say something about our great, you know, government and, you know, things like that. And my daughter, she whispers over at me and one of those whispers that's not quiet. And she goes, "Dad, I thought the government was bad." I said, it is, honey, it is.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So anyway, Gina looked over me. She goes, You're extremely proud right now, aren't you? I said, you have no idea, man.
I'm beaming.
I'm so happy on the
inside. This is what I call success.
No, I think honestly, when it comes to influence, like I hadn't really put my finger on this till recently. I saw an interview with a guy and referencing Rich Mullins, the musician artist Rich Mullins. He was basically saying, although he maybe dabbled in music, Rich Mullins, because of the type of person he was, mm-hmm. and how real he was, and how he wasn't perfect. You know, he had edges to him, and his skill set wasn't perfect. That it gave him permission to try.
Right.
And so then he began to pursue music, and this is guy's a fairly accomplished musician. So I kind of heard that, and I went, being real, and whether it's around kids in the youth group, or, you know, people in the church, or people in the community, or my family, you know, if my life is kind of it makes people think, I know this sounds weird, but if he can do it, like, I know that's not building me up in any
almost
form or
everything
fashion.
That you do, I look at and I go, if he could do it,
and you know what,
a blind monkey could do
you
it.
Can look at that and say, that's a terrible thing. But I look at it and go, all right, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with being the guy that you go, okay, he doesn't have all his stuff together. And if he's, if
all of his stuff,
he doesn't have a lot of his stuff together. Frequently does not have his stuff together. We should come up with an approved list of adjectives. Like, you can't talk about you in a positive way and use this attribute.
Yeah, that's not your attribute at all.
When positive, you cannot use the word frequent.
Frequent.
When negative, you can use the word
What was you said the other week? I don't think that means.
Sometimes. You said sometimes.
I don't think sometimes means what you think it means.
So anyway, so I think part of my influence is just leaning and caring, but also just kind of like, I hope people see me and it gives them permission to try. So,
okay, can I speak to that?
Yeah.
I would say that your influence is very strong in a lot of people's lives, and not for the same reason that Casey's is. Like, we talk about Casey's.
It's going to be good.
His is integrity. That's not you at all.
I knew this wasn't going to stay. It sounded so legit. Like, you almost sucked me in there. Like, you had me. I thought, dude, let's not. No, we got to change the subject. You can't be complimenting me. That's not going to work on this podcast. And I'm like, oh, wait, here it goes. I feel it. The tide is turning.
And
canoe is tipping.
Your influence is actually because of your humor.
Oh.
I think a lot of people give you a hearing because there is a sincerity in your humor and because of your humility. Like, you are not afraid to say, well, I goofed this up, or tell a funny story that involves you being the idiot.
Yes. Yeah. What about you with your influence? Where do you feel like
I'm telling you, I was thinking about this. I always go back to, I have influenced some people for the good. I hope, I think, you know, I really do believe that, just by being sincere and being transparent, like the same thing, like, hey, these are some of the mistakes I've made. And I don't necessarily always do it through a funny way. It's just like, yeah, I've definitely messed this up. But I was thinking, I've influenced some people for the bad as well before I was saved. Like, I talked some people out of what was a good Christian influence. So I remember this guy got his life squared away, and I was the guy in the background going, nah, you don't want to do that. Nah, that's not any fun. Yeah. Nah, the Bible does. I'm sure the Bible doesn't mean that. I was the guy dragging him away from the good morals he was trying to stand up to. And I think back to that a lot, and I'm like, it didn't even matter to me.
Yeah, I don't like thinking of that time in
my
life.
It didn't even matter to me. I don't know why I was doing that. He's telling me, man, I started going to church. I started doing this. I'm like, yeah, you don't want to do that, man. Come on.
Yeah. Yep.
I would kill, I would strangle that guy today. Like, yeah. Hey, you stay away from my people.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
This guy's trying to get his life squared away, and you are the guy dragging him away.
This is kind of a side turn, but I got 14 psychological tricks to get people to do what you want. You want to hear a couple of these?
Oh, I'm in. You had me at psychological tricks.
Use a decoy option to get people to buy your product.
How's that?
You get 3 subscription levels, $59 for online only, $159 for print only, or $159 for online and print. That's an example. So you throw the crappy one out there that forces them to buy. You know what I'm talking about? So that's the decoy thing. The other one, which I liked, was confuse them to get them to comply with your request. And I thought, if confusing people is a tactic, people should be agreeing to my stuff all the time. Like,
I should be very successful.
There's nothing more confusing
than me.
But it's to give them the example, like, instead of saying $3, you say like 300 pennies.
Right.
And you're like, you're confusing them. You're using a different way to frame that. You're distracting them. So it's not really confusion as much as distraction, because then I'm not great at distraction. Yeah. And then it says, display an image of eyes to get people to behave ethically.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says. Display an image of eyes, like eyeballs, to get them. In one study, people were more likely to clean up after themselves in a cafeteria when they saw an image of eyes than when they saw an image of flowers. The study authors say the eyes typically indicate social scrutiny. Whether you're trying to prevent littering or encourage people to return the books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dude, we need to start selling. You know those fat heads? Remember those fat heads?
Yes.
Fat heads that are eyes.
Just eyeballs.
For people to put in their kids' dorm rooms.
Oh, that's creepy.
That's in creepy. Their kids' bedrooms. Like, they'll clean up their bedroom if they have that eye in there.
So creepy.
The eye is watching.
Can you imagine inviting somebody over to your room and there's like these set of eyeballs there? And they glow in the dark.
And you keep looking at these eyes.
Like, your buddy's staying the night. You fell asleep playing video games. He wakes up in the middle of the night. You didn't tell him that the eyes glow in the dark. He's like, panic. So I thought that was it. Not that we want you to manipulate, but I thought the whole eyeball thing was very, very interesting. So, okay. So you mentioned Billy Graham earlier, the idea of a major influencer. And when I was thinking about that, like how people influence and the ideas, I think, okay, Billy Graham found kind of his thing and he did his thing. And maybe that's a bad way of putting it. He found his thing, but God found him and really impressed on his heart to devote his life to a very specific thing. And he was focused on that way of influencing people. In other words, he didn't really stray from it. But at the same time, he was totally intentional about it. Like, he was Mr. Evangelism, Crusades. I mean, that was his mode. He figured out how it was going to work, and he really stuck to it. So I think that's one of the things about Billy Graham that's inspiring, is that he just didn't stop. I mean, that's who he was and who he was going to be, and that was his method for influencing people.
And I think that's what the article by Brett McKay was talking about. If you're going to be influential, and you are going to be influential, if you're going to be influential for the good, you're only going to do it by being intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen otherwise. All right.
Well, hey, folks, go out and make an influence, be an influence, be intentional about it. I hope that you will intentionally let us know about your influence. Tell some of your stories at gbngpodcast@gmail.com.
But don't manipulate. Don't do one of those tricky, confusing things.
Yeah. Just tell us. Let us know. Go give us some stars. Give us some reviews. It means a lot. It helps us get our podcast out there. And share it with all your friends. Have a great week. Go be an influencer.